This week's episode of the Dungeon Cast has been brought to you by Tarragon Terrain. Tarragon Terrain was developed and launched through Kickstarter in 90 minutes. It's a modular terrain system designed with all tabletop games in mind. Each tile aligns to the next using powerful, rare earth magnets. Easy self-alignment means each Tarragon will always snap right into place. No positive, no negative, only the results you need when you want them. Tarragon's versatility makes them a great tool for all different systems. From line-of-sight blocking terrain to detailed battle maps, Tarragons can do it all. Backers on Kickstarter have already unlocked numerous stretch goals. There are new tile and scatter options, along with a free Kickstarter-exclusive handmade D20 for eligible pledges, with many more to come. That's Tarragon Terrain on Kickstarter. Be sure to check them out in the link below.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from Feywild freestyles to hacking hags. And today, we're covering flesh golems and helmed horrors.
That's right.
Hey Brian.
Hey Will.
We're getting close to the end of the spooky times. We're not quite there
yet. I'm scared because it's the spooky times. I'm scared because they're like almost over already. Even though it's still September when we're recording this.
This is true.
Our next recording will be like November Halloween episode, November stuff.
Yes.
And I'll be like in the middle of my festiveness.
We'll be in the middle of it's
true. And people will be listening to it ready for turkey in America.
It's true. Yeah.
In Canada too, I think. When is Canadian Thanksgiving?
I don't know when Canadian Thanksgiving is.
Google. Oh, you have my phone.
Yeah. I think I'm doing a Friendsgiving this year.
And, oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it.
I love those.
It's a spooky times, Brian.
Spooky times. It's spooky as fuck in here right now.
So today we are talking about two artificially created spooky monsters.
Mm.
And unlike most monsters we do for our October Spookfest episodes, these guys are not inherently evil or malevolent beings.
They're just spooky as fuck.
Yeah, they're creepy and gross looking and scary looking.
Yeah.
And they have, like, the helmed horror sounds inherently scary, but he's actually not that scary.
The word horror is literally in the name.
In the name, yeah. We'll get into it. You'll see.
Yeah.
So, though they are often both these things, it is truly through no fault of their own. So, they are commonly evil and malevolent, but it's not inherent to, like, who they are.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Are they being controlled?
They're artificially created constructs. Yes.
So they are being like manipulated by their creator.
They're programmed, if you will.
They're programmed. Yeah. They're butt machines.
They are
in
butt
a horror world.
They're not butt machines. That'd be weird.
They're not butt machines.
Okay.
But what would a butt machine do? Would it make butts?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Either way, both of today's monsters are classic visages of terror and fear, useful to any dungeon master looking to give their dungeon or campaign a horror spin, and both with origins in classic literature.
Ooh.
So let's get started with the helmed horror.
Okay.
So helmed horrors are also known as shadow guards, and they resemble animated suits of armor between 5 feet and 7 feet tall, often found as guardians. These automatons usually appear as warriors, completely clad in plate mail, and often armed with both a greatsword and crossbows.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes the armor appears old, other times it is shiny and well-kept, but a horror is merely animated, empty armor linked by magical forces and infused with elemental spirits. Though the armor itself is entirely empty, magical red light flares through the joints and visor, giving horrors a malevolent and angry look.
Okay.
To add to their fear-inducing appearance, helmed horrors have the ability to hover / fly.
Oh, that's scary. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, me neither until I did my research.
Oh.
Because I just, picture them, walking towards you.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I know these things can literally hover.
They're a big suit of armor, so they're going to make cool noises when they walk
around.
But hovering makes them sneaky.
It does. Making them appear as supernatural undead as they fly. Despite their appearance as phantoms or ghosts within armor, helmed horrors are not undead or summoned creatures and cannot be turned. The process of creating a helmed horror results in silent, intelligent guardians capable of independent reasoning. So they're very smart.
Okay, this is immediately, I looked up the photo and I'm recalling a combat in which we fought one of these guys.
I use this one in the Halloween adventure.
The Dredgen to Shadowmire Keep, which you can find on our Patreon, which is a, two-shot. I don't know.
It's a two-shot.
It was, 6 hours worth of adventure.
I thought it was 2 6-hours. I thought it was longer than that.
No, I think it's 6 hours total. It might be edited down.
It might be edited down. It's 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah, it's yeah. it's up there.
But
in,
it's
in content.
Honestly, to this day, my favorite thing we've ever
it
done.
Is it's scary. So well done, like thread of adventure and story. All the characters are evil. Yeah. They're pitted together to fight other evil.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. Yeah. We fight one of these things. Yeah. It was a fiasco.
It was a fiasco.
I think Freeland. It was our Super Quest Saga squad that did this campaign. And I think Freeland almost died in this fight.
Freeland almost died like 5 times.
Yeah. And then.
And then stuff happens.
And then stuff.
There's payoff.
And then.
Like the story unfolded itself.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Definitely go check it out. I will probably put it up publicly again during this Halloween times.
Right. Okay. Back to Helmed Horrors.
Back to the Helmed Horrors.
So the process of creating Helmed Horrors is not something clearly spelled out. And what is spelled out is there's a freaking. People are texting you.
Oh.
And what is spelled out is inconsistent across editions of source books. Most sources claim that the process itself is a secret only known to very powerful spellcasters, and that there are dread bargains involved that only evil souls would ever be willing to pay.
Dread bargains.
Mm-hmm.
That's way more scary than normal bargains,
dark
dude. I'm not going to lie.
Despite the secrecy, some prerequisites have been spelled out. Some sources say a powerful spellcaster with knowledge of both construct creation and arms and armor creation is needed, along with a special workroom. Others say it is known to require a priest of at least 7th level, some assistance from a wizard, and a physical non-magical set of armor of any sort.
This is like talking to spellcasters across the land that have like bits and pieces of how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, dude. So when I did it, I had to fucking revert my entire dungeon, one room in my dungeon to just dedicate it. I had to learn to make armor.
Yeah.
I had to fucking call in a priest, which I usually only do to get rid of things. Right. I called one in to bring with something in. It was, bro.
I like that. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, the creator of a horror instills in it a set of orders or commands that govern its freedom, behavior, and limitations. These vary considerably from horror to horror, but the orders of a specific horror cannot be changed once given. Dangerous loopholes in a horror's orders may bring its loyalty into serious jeopardy. Thus, instilling orders in a horror is an incredibly delicate task.
Sound like a tongue twister to me over there.
Because I keep saying horror.
Yeah, I know.
Horror.
Horror.
Gosh. It's almost over. Preceding its orders in Awakening, a horror can be made immune to the effects of 3 specific spells when created. So,
okay, cool.
Typically high damage.
Fireball.
Typically high damaging, but common spells are chosen, such as Fireball, Heat Metal, and Lightning Bolt.
Oh, you're going to piss off your spellcaster. I immediately cast Fireball. Oh,
immune.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that look like? Kamui, like Naruto, Kakashi's ability? Where it like vortexes and like sucks up the magic.
That's exactly how I was picturing it, yes.
Yeah.
The spells must be named by the creator, cannot be changed thereafter.
This is before they're even done, he's writing the Fireball. Let's see, what else though? The other two are essentially random. Yeah, yeah. Magic Missile. That would be a cool one to like, your magic missile is not supposed to miss ever.
In this case,
and this
misses.
One it gets sucked. Like, no, like what's happening? Okay.
Though it takes more magical resources to create a Helmed Horror than a lesser suit of animated armor, the Helmed Horror requires less direction and maintenance as it carries out its appointed tasks. A Helmed Horror follows its order with complete loyalty and is intelligent enough to understand the difference between an order's intent and its exact wording. Unlike many constructs, it seeks to fulfill the former rather than slavishly follow the later. Created to have such an iron-strong loyalty, Helmed Horrors are seldom self-willed wanderers. Instead, they serve as guardians long after the deaths of their creators or masters, tirelessly manning posts of crumbling ruins, tombs, and forgotten tunnels. I always switch them, tombs and tomes.
Tombs and tomes, man. Yeah, it's tricky.
I know. Some have been known to avenge a slain creator following orders instilled in them. Some revenant horrors traveled thousands of miles to fulfill their duty. In some cases, however, the orders of a horror allow it autonomy in the absence of commands or are simply silent on the subject of a horror's freedom. If not specifically commanded to cease existence at the death or behest of their creator, horrors will continue operating until destroyed.
I mean, why would you actually do that unless you had like a secret to guard? You don't want something
floating
around?
Like, in order to like self-annihilate, like you would have to want to self-annihilate, which that opens up a whole other can of worms of this poor Helmed Horror's life.
Well, didn't you say that the maker, the creator, could instruct it?
Oh, like, okay. I understand what you're saying. Like, why would they be instructed to? I was like, well, why would they do it if they weren't instructed to? That's how I was.
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's true. But like, when the pact is made and they do the handshake at the end, and he's like, we die together, brother. And like, you know, that's probably, that's maybe.
Yeah, sure, that.
But or not. So you could run into one of these.
The Helmed Horrors can't speak, so I don't know about it knowing a secret.
Well, the thing is, what I'm trying to get at is like, when you stumble across ancient ruins and the traps still work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if you walk into a spellcaster's, a long dead spellcaster's lair, and this thing is here, it implies that there's something worth guarding.
Yeah.
Or could. I mean, it could also just be like, I forgot to turn off my scary boy.
My scary boy,
And now he wanders the
earth. Now he wanders all, killing, killing things.
Killing whatever moves within them.
Yeah, exactly.
This place has been rat-free the day I made him. It's been rat-free.
That's amazing.
I actually need those. I had to tell him to stop. No, pick them up.
No, but you can't. Once you give him the orders, it's done. You can't change the orders.
I should have built. I had to tear him down. Luckily, I didn't have to make the armor again.
Yeah.
Or did you? Would it like disintegrate when you blow him up? Does he like evaporate?
You know, I didn't read. It didn't say. So.
Okay.
Helmed Horror fights with the cunning of a skilled warrior.
Nice.
Taking to the air as it attacks weaker characters. Remember, they can fly.
Right.
And spellcasters first. However, a Helmed Horror lacks the insight to change its environment, fortify, or otherwise take active measures to improve its defensive position.
Okay.
So horrors can see invisible objects and creatures up to 120 feet away and have infravision effective to the same range. The senses of a horror permeate from its entire form and not from the eyes, ears, etc.
Okay.
Thus, a dehelmed horror can fight on unlike a beheaded living creature. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, you can kick it like in the head.
It can see out bunch. Its chest.
Yeah.
It needs to.
It sees from its ghostly insides.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you would normally see like chainmail under the plate or like whatever skin, tunic, what have you.
Yeah, sure.
There is a permeating aura that is all sensory.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Some shit
you
like
got
that.
It. You
Did
got
you hear
it.
The words I said? Did they make sense?
Yeah.
Leave a comment below.
But portions of a horror's body that are separated from the main suit of armor cease to move and cannot fight. So, like, even though, like, by cutting off the head, it can still see. If you cut off the arm is dead.
Yeah. Like, it can't, it can see out of its arm, but it can't swing its dead arm.
I think the idea is, like,
well, it can swing out of, like, the part you cut. Like, the shoulder would be exposed there. It could still, like, sense out of that.
Yeah, exactly.
But the arm can't still swing.
Or
it's
sense.
Been disembodied.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. If brought back into contact, though, with the horror, the lost ligament will reattach itself.
Oh, my God. The fucking spellcaster takes the help action and puts its arm back on.
Yeah, there you go.
White.
Horrors do not sleep, eat, or speak, and cannot feel pain. They are ideal guardians, for their loyalty is total and devoid of ambition or emotion. If commanded by a being possessing telepathy, they can communicate, and a garrison of horrors can be coordinated into a well-organized fighting band.
That's cool.
That's scary.
A bunch of scarecrows, because last episode was scarecrows, and then this guy is like, Scarecrow is like challenge rating one, this guy, pretty much.
Yeah,
scale
sure.
him way Dude, back.
Wait, it can't fly, but yeah.
Right, well, we're scaling him way back. It's doing the inherent thing is the same, which is a spellcaster made him to fight people that are good.
No, to fight
adventuring parties.
Yeah, to protect their territory. That's what it's about, protecting the territory.
If they're not trying to fight adventuring parties, do they really exist?
There we go. There's the question. Tell me about the Stabok, Brian.
I will.
Okay.
Helmed Horror, medium construct, neutral, armor class 20, plate and shield. Damn. So drop the shield. It's 18. Does that still work for monsters?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So cut that arm off, damn it. That's a hard thing, cutting arms off in D&D.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you got to say that you want to do that.
And you got to mechanically figure it out.
You got to mechanically figure it out.
Yeah.
HP is 60? Seems low.
High AC.
Yeah. Speed is 30 feet with a fly speed of 30 feet.
And they can fly.
And they can fly. That's pretty troublesome. They throw that sword? You could throw a sword.
You could throw a sword.
You could throw anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Anything you can pick up, you could throw it.
For the most part.
Pretty much.
Unless it's too heavy.
Sand? Yeah, you could throw sand.
You could throw sand, yeah.
Not all of it, usually. Some of it slips, falls to the ground.
I mean, what is a slip but a bad throw?
Falling with style. I don't know. I just pictured vividly pictured Buzz Lightyear and Woody.
Yeah. Alright, tell me more about the Helldor, please.
The strength is 18, the dex is 13, the con is 16, intelligence is 10, the wisdom is 10, the charisma is 10. So very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well-rounded individual.
Well-rounded or better. So strong. Very strong, coming from the sky.
What's the challenge rating on this
thing? How much does this thing weigh? The challenge rating is 4.
Okay.
That's
pretty hefty.
You could mob it up.
Well, at the high levels, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little army of these guys. So skills, perception plus 4. Damage resistances, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks not made with adamantine weapons. Specifically adamantine weapons. Adamantine? Adamantine? Damage immunities, force. It's immune to force damage? Like apparently, Eldritch Blast?
I guess so.
So you fucking neutralize the warlock. Yep. Necrotic and poison.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Oh, well, necrotic makes sense, but force? That's fucking strong.
Yeah.
Let's see. Conditioned immunities are blinded, charmed, deafened, frightened, paralyzed, petrified, poisoned, and stunned. I don't even think I know of... Oh, of course I know what petrified is. It's like when you get turned to stone.
Yep.
Okay. Can't turn this shit to stone. Let's see. Senses are blind sight 60 feet, which is... it's blind beyond the 60 feet, though. Oh, yeah. Well, that's norm. Okay, sure. For some reason, I read way into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Its passive perception is 14. Its languages is understands the languages of its creator, but can't speak. And as we already mentioned, the challenge rating is 4. It's got magic resistance. The Helmed Horror has advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Spell immunity. The Helmed Horror is immune to 3 spells chosen by its creator. Typical immunities include Fireball, Heat Metal, and Lightning Bolt.
Yep.
Those are 3 great choices here.
Exactly. This thing is a defensive monster.
Because Lightning Bolt is essentially a sub for Fireball.
Yeah, basically. You know. But I think one of the points of the Helmed Horror is it's figure out how to fucking hurt it, because it's really difficult to figure that out.
Yeah, so would a good candidate be can you hold person this thing?
It's not a person.
Right, so hold monster? What is that?
It's a construct, so I'm not sure if that works, but
yeah,
maybe.
So maybe these 3 are some of the best options. Let's see. Actions are multi-attack. The Helmed Horror makes 2 longsword attacks, and the longsword is a melee weapon attack of +6 to hit with a reach of 5 feet and 1 target. Hit is 8, or 1d8 +4 slashing damage, or 9, or 1d10 +4 slashing damage if used with 2 hands. So you can do 8 or 9 damage depending on if you have 1 hand swinging or 2, which means if you double hand a longsword, you're not shielding anymore. Is that proper?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't shield with a double handed attack. So if you get rid of this thing's shield somehow, it can go for the 2 handed stuff, or it can decide to go aggro, drop its shield, and start smacking on you if you're not hitting it for high AC
totally
attacks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you have some flexibility here, but this magic resistance, I think, is the key. What it's doing to your spellcasters, your warlock and your dude that's making the spells that do work that are going to make this guy do saves, he's going to start passing a lot of them.
Yep.
He's going to be able to get out of your cones and spheres by flying around.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it is. It is. I was waiting for you to really realize it. And I think it's finally sinking in.
This thing is hardcore.
It's horrifying. Yeah, that's why he's called what he is.
The HP and the damage output not being super high is where you're going to win your bread.
Yeah.
But there's got to be something here for you to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that.
It is that.
Yeah. And if you're BBEG knows the party, then these 3 spells that they're picking are meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
If they don't, you're going to pick Fireball and
exactly.
2 other ones. There you go. Heat Metal is a really good one because this guy's made of metal.
True.
He's not much else. He's metal and a ghost.
Yeah. Although I don't see how heating him would hurt him. He is metal.
The ghost inside.
I guess it's the spirit inside. God.
Yeah, because if it's going to get hurt by Slash,
you
know, with adamantine. But it can get hurt with Slash. So if it get hurt with Slash, it can get hurt with fire or whatever. Or hot.
Yeah, that's true. All right. I think it's short rest time.
My ghost hand.
Let's take a short rest.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We're back, baby. Indeed. We're wearing Super Quest Saga shirts like fucking fantasy bros, fantasy sci-fi bros. I fucking love Super Quest Saga. Go watch
Me
it.
Too.
You probably just heard an ad for it, but fuck, man, it's good. And you can go, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see, you can get all our merch right below the video there. You can kind of,
I think in the podcast app.
In the podcast it's app, it's also there. The link is there in the description regardless.
Exactly, yeah.
Along with lots of other cool stuff down there.
Right.
But yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready to start talking about other things.
Yeah, flesh golems. Let's
flesh
go.
Golems.
So there
gross
are many,
name.
Yeah, there are many kinds of golems, and we will more than likely do an episode solely on the different varieties of them. But today, for thematic purposes, we are focusing on one particular type, the flesh golem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get into it, let's do a brief overview of what a golem is. Golems are magically animated constructs created by wizards and other masters of secret lore to guard important places or treasure. Much like helmed horrors... Much like a helmed horror, it usually involves sealing in an elemental spirit.
Okay.
So, but instead of an animated suit of armor, golems are made from humble, singular materials such as clay, flesh, bones, iron, or stone. But despite their rudimentary appearance, they possess astonishing power and durability. A golem has no ambitions, needs no sustenance, feels no pain, and knows no remorse. An unstoppable juggernaut, it exists to follow its creator's orders, and it protects or attacks as that creator demands.
I might be opening up a can of worms here by saying this, but like the spellcaster that's like, I want to invent a new golem. Mm-hmm. And that's the can of worms. Like somebody probably, there's probably a named person in a section of fantasy that invented the golem or whatever. But is like looking around like, what am I going to make my golem out of? Well, I've got a lot of skin. Got a lot of skin all
oh,
over.
Oh man, yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to realize what a flesh golem basically is as we keep going.
Okay. So. I'm imagining it's flesh based off the title of it.
Yeah,
it's,
let's just keep reading.
Okay.
So, the construction of a golem begins with the building of its body, requiring great command of a craft of sculpting, stone cutting, iron working, or in this case, surgery. Sometimes a golem's creator is the master of the art, but often the individual who desires a golem must enlist master artisans to do the work. After constructing the body from clay, flesh, iron or stone, the golem's creator infuses it with a spirit from the elemental plane of earth. This tiny spark of life has no memory, personality, or history. It is simply the impetus to move and obey. This process binds the spirit to the artificial body and subjects it to the will of the golem's creator.
Nice.
So a flesh golem is a grotesque and horrifying thing to behold.
Yeah.
It is made from the ghoulish collection of stolen human body parts.
Uh-huh.
This grisly assortment of humanoid components is stitched and bolted and glued together into a muscled brute imbued with formidable size and strength. The average flesh golem stands a head and a half taller than most humans and weighs over 500 pounds. Its skin is a sickly green or yellow of partially decayed flesh. A flesh golem smells faintly of freshly dug earth and dead flesh. It wears whatever clothing its creator desires, usually just a ragged pair of trousers. It has no possessions and no weapons. The golem cannot speak, although it can emit a hoarse roar of sorts. It walks and moves with a stiff-jointed gait as if it is not in complete control over its own body parts.
I've never heard a hoarse roar. Just kidding. So this is Frankenstein's monster.
Yes.
This is Mary Shelley's.
This is exactly what it is.
Okay,
it's Frankenstein's
cool.
monster. I didn't know if you had connected that before I described it.
I mean, we're fresh off of like gibbering mouthers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
like, yeah, you were picturing like a flesh amorphous
kinda,
thing.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Like I did start thinking about like, okay, well, like piles of dead bodies, you know, converted into a mass with magic. But like now I'm picturing the surgical sort of thing where the town surgeon is in on it. He is getting paid. He is cutting off people's limbs unnecessarily.
Right.
And, you know, explaining to the family why and this and that. And if the person dies, he's just going to send the body over there, too. So,
right. Right.
Yeah. It's a lot of young Frankenstein vibes that could go on for my game would probably. Do some Igor stuff.
Yeah, that'd be
you know,
fun.
That sort
that.
Of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some Frau Brücker.
I love that movie. The pieces of the golem must be sewn together from the dead bodies of humanoids that have not decayed significantly. A minimum of 6 different bodies must be used, one for each limb, for the torso with the head, and a different one for the brain. In some cases, war bodies may be necessary to form a complete golem. No natural animal, such as a dog, will willingly track a flesh golem.
I was like, that's just gross, dude.
It's just too gross and scary.
I'm not the one.
No, you need to get a different dog.
You need to get a dire dog.
A dire
dog. Dire abilities.
You need an unnatural animal for this.
Okay.
No natural animal will ever track.
Which unnatural animal, given a choice, a spread of all unnatural animals, which one would you pick to track your Frankenstein monster?
And I have like full control and command of this animal?
Yeah.
I guess a hellhound.
Okay, there you go. So you can feasibly summon a hellhound as spellcaster of some kind. Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. So get your hellhounds and go kill the Frankenstein.
All right, sounds good.
Can I call it the Frankenstein? Are people going to get mad at me? They are.
Well, never it's mind. Frankenstein's monster.
I know.
It's the monster.
I know
monster.
What it is. I did it right a bunch of times before this.
Oh, okay.
So I was wondering if I could switch over to the way everybody wants to say it. I'll probably get in trouble.
I don't know if you get in trouble, but like... They are two distinct like things.
No, I know. Yeah.
And it just gets confusing. Like, which one are you talking about?
Yes.
So
I know.
It's easier to say the monster and Frankenstein because, you know, yeah.
Anyways. I'm part of the problem. I wasn't. Now I am.
Okay, sounds good. So its brain is capable of simple reason, though its thoughts are no more sophisticated than those of a young child. The golem's muscle tissue responds to the power of lightning, invigorating the creature with vitality and strength. Powerful enchantments protect the golem's skin, deflecting spells and... all but the most potent of weapons. Its dead flesh isn't an ideal container for an elemental spirit, which sometimes howls incoherently to vent its outrage. If this, I like how they just found ways to make it like Frankenstein's monster. Because other golems aren't like this at all.
What if you got powered up by lightning attacks?
Yeah. The spirit breaks free of its creator's will, the golem goes berserk until calmed or until its shell of flesh is destroyed or completely healed. There is also a fiendish flesh golem. We have the stat block for it today.
Okay.
And it is a particularly big flesh golem made of stitched together body parts from devils, demons, ugoliths, and other fiends.
Oh, shit.
As these parts can come from different creatures and be combined in different ways, no two fiendish flesh golems look exactly alike. Night hags guard the secret to making such golems, rarely sharing it with anyone else. Some fiendish flesh golems have wings. However, the magic used to create these golems allows them to fly and hover even without wings.
I think there are a bunch of sequels to Human Centipede now, but my sequel to Human Centipede is you made the Human Centipede and then you just they died and you flesh golem them immediately afterward. Now you have
there we go
a very bad Frankenstein's monster.
Indeed, you do. All right, so we got two stat blocks to go over. We have the regular flesh golem and then we have the fiendish one.
That's me.
How about it?
Flesh golem, medium construct, neutral. Construct's got a bunch of cool like. Negating
yeah. It's because,
of the game.
Yeah, it's because they're not alive, but they're not undead either, so they don't have those weaknesses.
Right.
They have
something else.
Yeah.
This is a gray area of D&D is the construct.
Right.
The armor class is 9. The hit points are 93, and the speed is 30 feet. Strength, 19. Wow. Dex, 9. Con, 18. Wow. Intelligence, 6. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 5. Very bad charisma.
Yeah. Not a lot of strength of will. It's a golem. Yeah, exactly. Yes, that.
That's literally Frankenstein.
I know.
The young Frankenstein monster.
Yes, I know.
Frankenstein. Damage immunities. Lightning, poison. That's cool. Lightning damage immunity. Bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. Not made with adamantine weapons. What does that keep cropping up all of a sudden?
Because it pierces through... magical protection.
Okay, yeah.
And for undead creatures, it's silver.
Right. Okay, yeah. That's where... Okay. Yeah. Okay. Condition immunities. Can't be charmed. Exhaustion. Frightened. Paralyzed. Petrified. Poisoned. Senses. Dark vision 60 feet. Passive perception 10. Languages. Understands the language of its creator, but can't speak. Mm-hmm. Its creator? Why wouldn't it understand the language of the brain that it had put into it?
Because remember, it's the elemental spirit that...
Oh, that's right. It's the earth elemental in there. Yeah. It's just challenge rating 5.
Yeah, and that's the weakest of the golems. I was going to say, helmed horrors are very strong. Golems are way stronger.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So here we go. Berserk. Whenever the golem starts its turn with 40 hit points or fewer, roll a d6. On a 6, the golem goes berserk. On each of its turns while berserk, the golem attacks the nearest creature it can see. If no creature is near enough to move to and attack, the golem attacks an object, with preference for an object smaller than itself, like a vase. Once the golem goes berserk, it continues to do so until it is destroyed or regains all of its hit points.
Oh, dang.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. The golem's creator... if within 60 feet of the berserk golem, can try to calm it by speaking firmly and persuasively. The golem must be able
no!
to...
No! Bad golem!
Hey, dude, could you, like, fucking stop, man? You're fucking up my vibes. Okay, the golem's creator, if within 65, I read that part. The golem must be able to hear its creator, who must take an action to make the DC 15 charisma persuasion check. If the check succeeds, the golem ceases being berserk. If it takes damage while still at 40 HP or fewer, the golem might go berserk again. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will. Aversion to fire. If the golem takes fire damage, it has disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until the end of its next turn. Immutable form. The golem is immune to any spell or effect that would alter its form. That's fucking weird. That's a weird thing. Like, I made this guy up with stitches and shit.
You can't unmake him.
You can't undo my art. This is my art, man.
It says very much that they cast magical protections on their skin.
Okay, so yeah, it's like
that's why normal weapons don't do normal damage.
Cool. Okay, so lightning absorption. Whenever the golem is subjected to lightning damage, it takes no damage and instead regains a number of hit points equal to the lightning damage dealt.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
That's some healing.
Yep.
Magic resistance. The golem has advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. Magic weapons. The golem's weapon attacks are magical. Mm-hmm. So it's exuding magic.
Mm-hmm.
Actions, multi-attack. The golem makes 2 slam attacks. Slam, melee weapon attack, which is magical, I guess. +7 to hit. Reach 5 feet. 1 target. The hit is going to do 13 or 2d8 plus 4 bludgeoning damage. So this is troublesome to let run around for a lot of turns.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's gonna have time on the battlefield. And over that time, if you don't do the right things and you do the wrong things... This could be a TPK.
You lose control of it.
Yeah. Also, I want a team of them to go kill a blue dragon.
He can't breathe. Yeah, that's true. That's
breathe on me, bro. Do it. Magical resistance. It's like
I did not think of it like that. That's hilarious.
You could send these guys into.
No, flesh golems. My one weakness.
My only weakness. A big Frankenstein. So the spellcaster makes 10 flesh golems and goes into the desert with a covered wagon and summons invokes the wrath of the blue dragon by calling its name or whatever.
Yeah.
And shaking a bag of gold around.
Yeah, sure.
And then he uncovers the wagon and disappears.
Yeah,
and
there we go. See how it plays out.
Yep. See what happens.
I like it.
He just runs away, casts a fly spell. He's like, see you later, asshole. that might not work out.
No.
Should I jump into the Fiendish Flesh
Golem?
Yeah,
I have not looked at this stat block, so I'm very curious about it.
Fiendish Flesh Golem is large construct on a line. I'm going to blow through this one.
Yeah.
AC is 12, HP 210. Yeah. Jesus, that's like double.
Very
okay,
strong.
Okay, 12 is much better than 9 also. speed, it's got 30 feet of movement speed and 30 feet of hovering fly speed.
It can fly.
Scowy. Strength, 20. Wow. Dex, 9. Con, 20. Wow. Intelligence, 7. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 5. Again. Yeah. Jesus. Okay.
Weak will.
Well, they're controlled.
Yeah.
So, damage resistance, cold and fire. Mm-hmm. Damage immunities, lightning, poison, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks that aren't adamantine or silvered. Condition immunities are charmed, exhaustion, frightened, paralyzed, petrified, poisoned. The 60 feet of dark vision and 10 passive perception still apply. Understands the language of its creator but can't speak. And is a challenge rating 8 as opposed to the challenge rating 5. So much, much stronger. This has the berserk feature. So same thing, except I think, yeah, still the 15 charisma DC persuasion check. But this one, the threshold is 100 hit points instead of 40. So we're out of the halfway marker.
Half,
yeah. When you bloody this creature, it go bape shit.
Mm-hmm.
Immutable form. Same thing. Lightning absorption, magic resistance, magic weapons. So all the same features here.
Just bigger and badder.
Yeah, just bigger badder. The golem makes 2 slam attacks with the multi-attack still, and those are +8 to hit instead of a +7. Mm. This feels like a giant, like how the giants have the buff.
Yeah.
The hill giant specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess the frost and fire.
The giants had a bigger, badder version.
Storm. Yeah, they all did. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, this is going to do 16 instead of the 13 damage with 2d10 plus 5 on the bludge.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you have it. This one, instead of looking like a big fleshy green man, probably looks like, the parts of these fiends that were
spliced together. I imagine it could look absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, I feel like you could do more with, like, maybe if you know what types of fiends you're splicing on.
Well, like, the Glaber Zoo have, like, lobster claws for arms.
Right.
So you can grab those.
So you those could still do slams, but, like, you could do different kinds of attacks again as well.
But you get, like, the body and chest of a Belgura, which is the big red ape thing.
Yeah, the monkey one,
yeah. But then, like, the lower body, like, insectile of the Chasme.
Ooh, that's cool. You know,
and just keep going from there.
Yeah, piece it all together. Yeah. So you can reflavor based off of that what pieces you used. That's kind of cool for a spellcaster to, you know, relatively easy when you're comparing these two monsters to get fleshy stuff rather than fiendy stuff. Because this implies that you found the dead bodies of fiends, which means that somebody killed them. Was it you? I don't know.
Could have been.
Abyssal incursion gone wrong.
Maybe.
They can't breathe. They can't breathe air, it turns out. Like War of the Worlds. You just go get the bodies. No,
War of the Worlds is not they can't breathe air. War of the Worlds is a...
I know.
Okay.
Go listen to the War of the Worlds radio broadcast. It's Halloween. It's so fucking cool.
It is.
They get germed up, okay?
Yeah, they get germed up.
They get germed up real bad.
Indeed.
The air doesn't burn their flesh or whatever. They never show it. Well, I didn't watch all of the Tom Cruise one.
So. Oh, you didn't? It's good. I like that one.
They show the alien in that one?
Do they show the alien?
Spoilers for Tom Cruise War of the Worlds.
But I don't think they actually do.
Because the OG War of the Worlds is like, well, there's a radio broadcast, right?
Yeah.
But then there's the movie and the book.
Yeah.
They don't like detail, I don't think, the alien exactly. They're not like, it looks like this. There's not that.
And they don't do that in the other one either.
And then it got out of the ship and he saw. No, they don't do that.
No, they don't do that.
The ship is.
What I like about the more modern War of the Worlds is they took the same like premise. Well, it's the same story basically, but they changed it from less of a worldview, more of a like, no, this is
from a guy.
One guy's experience.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Dad. That's pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
Tom Cruise is a shitty dad in this alien invasion takeover.
Exactly.
Where they were actually here the whole time.
Right. Which is weird. That's weird. But
that was the weirdest part.
Yeah, that was the weirdest part.
There's an EMP.
Yeah.
And cell phones are a thing in this one. So that sucks.
Okay. We're talking about War of the Worlds now, so I think it's time to take a long rest.
Absolutely. What's up, everybody? Before we get into the long rest, I want to tell you all about Adventurers Coffee Company. Whether you need advantage on your concentration checks or you just want a cup of something hot and delicious, Adventurers Coffee Company has you covered, and I mean full cover. That means no targeted attacks. They've got some really awesome beans, including new additions like Ragnarost and the seasonal pumpkin spice, Stranger Beans. And the art on these bags is so awesome. You guys really need to check it out. And right now, you can use promo code DUNGEONCAST to get 10% off your next purchase. That's right. Head on over to adventurerscoffee.co to see their full selection of excellent beans for brew. That's adventurerscoffee.co. And don't forget to use promo code DUNGEONCAST to get 10% off your next purchase. Looking for something scary to do this Halloween? Check out my fucking slippers. Because my God, this week is just a fleshy stitch together. You get it. You get it. This one's green. This one's like red and blue and kind of pasty colors.
Well, one's metal and the other's flesh, right?
This one's got the little quasit wings on it.
Oh, okay. I see.
I guess speaking of quasits, a little update on... Mm-hmm. That thing did tear up my house.
Oh, did it?
My little familiar guy.
Oh,
he did
man.
Fuck up my shit. But,
I'm so sorry to hear it.
I haven't taken the hour to ritual him back in since I had to squish him.
Gotcha.
I had to squish him. Everybody's okay, though.
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Anyway, these slippies feel really gross inside. Yeah.
No, thank you.
These are not LLB.
I'll have no part of that.
I did my best in a pinch to stitch these up.
Right. Well, you're not a surgeon, so.
No. It's weird. They only do slam attacks.
Oh, gosh. But it's magical?
Yeah. I plug in a 9-volt. Like, I basically, like, spit on my foot and then shove the 9-volt on there.
That's
and
it, disgusting.
All of a sudden, I can run really fast.
Oh, well, so that's cool. That's some utility.
Yeah. If you stub your toe and they drop below half damage, you're going to start kicking fools.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about something else, please.
All right. Well, I think we got a week left on this contest. So if you guys want to enter to win Curse of Strahd Revamped, all you got to do, there's two things you can do.
Yeah,
two
contests you can enter. We're giving away two copies of this product.
We got an Instagram giveaway, we got a Twitter giveaway. And if you want to do the Twitter one, all you got to do is share a link on Twitter to an episode of one of our shows with the hashtag DungeonCast. Do that before Halloween, and you'll be entered to win. I'll be drawing out a name on Halloween night. And win this really dope adventure module that's been revamped.
It's been revamped.
Yeah, and there's a way to enter on Instagram. Brian will tell you about that.
Catch me on the gram, big dog. Don't be a coward. Tag your friends. One tag per comment gets you an entry. So you can enter a bunch of times. And it's all about spreading the word. Spread the love. The Dungeon Cast. We're all about love on the show. I haven't really talked about that in a long time.
We went from Dungeon Slippies. Love to Slippies.
It, you know, ebbs and flows, baby.
Ebbs and flows.
Ebbs and flows. We're back. We're back to the love. We love you. So if you love us, you're probably hearing this. So yeah, thanks.
This is true.
We really appreciate it. But if you could tell people about the show, that's super cool. Tell the people you tell to tell people about the show, too. Because fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, you got to spread it like shadows.
Spread it like shadows. Bend it like Beckham. Helmet like a whore. And a horror.
There we go.
Fucking berserk it like a golem. I don't know, dog.
Gore it like a golem.
Chase it like a mob would chase a Frankenstein.
Okay, sure that.
Pitchforks and torches are in every iteration of this man's lore career.
It's true.
Yeah, if you have a Frankenstein, you have pitchforks and torches and angry dudes that are angry for no reason.
Indeed.
Isn't it weird how Gaston is a beast on the inside and Beast is a beast on the outside?
Yep.
When she meets
that's the beast, point of it,
he's a beast on the inside too for a little while.
He's just angry, but yeah.
And when you're a beast on the outside, you know, sometimes you become a beast on the inside too.
It's true.
That reminds me of that Kobe Bryant, R.I.P. Kobe Bryant, but it reminds me of that Kobe commercial with Kanye West and the Nike. And he's like, are you a different animal but the same beast? He's like giving a seminar, like a talk.
Yeah.
You know, how to be like Kobe. Okay. That'd be great. He's like, are you a different animal but the same beast?
Okay, I think I get it.
Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
No, I think that's it.
Teespring, Patreon. Dude, we almost forgot our shout-outs.
Oh, God.
Oh, dude, that would have been bad because we're saving them for the third, and me and Will can get forgetful for sure.
It's true.
We're both about that lose-your-key life. So I got them right here, though.
Cool.
So, hey, listen up. If you can, listen up, Patreon people. Find us on patreon.com/dungeoncast where you get a ton of extra Dungeon Cast bonus stuff and Super Quest Saga stuff. Like all of the OST from Super Quest Saga. If you want to find it, it's in there, baby. Mm-hmm. So let's thank some people that came in, Will, with some shout outs. Energize our minds and spirits in the name of our true patron.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Shane Calder.
Thank you, Shane.
Teddy Tiggles.
Thank you, Teddy.
A big one here for Anthony Cardinale.
Thank you, Anthony.
Gato de Agua, which is cat of water. Water cat.
Thank you, water cat.
Gato de Agua. The_MXR.
Thank you, MXR.
I'll let you get away with that one. Edgar Fizzleroy III.
Thank you, Edgar.
Virgil Vengeance.
Thank you, Virgil.
Thank you guys so much for coming in on the Patreon. You made it. I hope you're checking out your bonus content because I know a few of you jumped in at a really cool tier. So check out FBATS because that shit is in there. And all of our other actual play stuff, we are coming out with a new Vault Raiders. We got to record the second one, so let's not forget to talk about that.
The second half,
reschedules are a big old nasty thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess this month. I don't know what we're going to do.
We're going to figure it out, though. Yeah. It's looking November, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And Ranger Danger. We gotta close up Ranger Danger.
Oh yeah, we never closed it out. I forgot. It left off with a cliffhanger. Yeah, we gotta schedule that.
We still gotta get Ranger Danger in. I'm thinking if we can squeeze this stuff in before the end of the year, that's fine with me. We'll figure it out. There's no rush on any of this stuff. And there's plenty of old vault. There's three fucking Vault Raiders in there already.
Yeah.
There is another Ranger Danger 1, and then the Ranger Danger Volume 2, Parts 1 and 2. Still waiting for the finale.
Yeah.
Which is evident what is going to happen, probably, if you listen to it. But go check out Ranger Danger, a campaign where everybody is a ranger, and they fight all the stranger kinds of danger.
That's such a bad way to describe that show, too. That's such terrible. It is comedy improv in
a Dungeons & Dragons setting.
It is. We are all rangers. This is true. You have no idea what the show is about, and it's impossible to explain to you unless you just watch it.
Just go watch Ranger Danger, because most people that do think it's the fucking bee's knees, and it's because it is. It's some of the craziest shit we do. So
it is the craziest thing we do. I don't think there's anything that comes close.
There's one episode of F-Bats that is comparable to the craziness of this one. And
for sure.
It's because you go into the fucking mindscape and like do whatever you want.
Oh, so it's Ranger Danger. It's Ranger Danger. Gotcha.
When people watch that F-Bats episode, they lose their fucking minds. Like, well, from what I remember, they're like, I wasn't expecting it to get this crazy.
Yeah.
But that's how Ranger Danger is at all the time. On the daily. 100%.
Yeah. And then you wonder why all three characters like never want to do their jobs.
I mean... It's the opposite. It's like bad Vault Raiders.
It is.
We're Vault Raiders, everyone's down.
Pumped to do it.
Yeah, we're like, let's get this fucking cash. Like,
why the fuck are we here again?
Let's get that fucking shmoney. That's so funny. Yeah, Ranger Danger is like, what the fuck are we doing? It's very good.
It is.
It's very, very fun, despite its nonsensical nature. I do script reads for movies. Anyway, you can check out also other stuff we do. The dungeoncast@gmail.com. Looking for ads? Come find us there.
Yeah.
I don't know, Doug.
Absolutely.
Basically, go look in the episode notes below. There's a ton of links in there with a ton of cool stuff. Check out our Discord, where there's a great D&D community just ripe for the like showing your fantasy stuff to.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah,
they'll look at it and tell you about it.
All right, I think it's time. We call it a game.
Oh, man.
We'll be back next week with the final episode of our Spooktober Spooktacular.
That spook-ass episode. It's going to be the spookiest shit we've ever done, maybe. I don't know.
It's up there.
I don't want to.
It'll be good.
Anyway, let's call it a game.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Dungeon Cast.